Thank you very much. The topic of today's mini shiur will be the relationship between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the other mitzvahs in the Torah. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that the Rabbanim, the Tanaim, were asked at one occasion whether they felt that philosophically the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is more important than that of the other mitzvahs, or less important. It doesn't mean that one should stop learning Torah and only do the other mitzvahs, and one should only do the other mitzvahs and stop learning Torah. They were just asking philosophically which do they consider more important. And the Tanaim answered that Godo Limud, Limud HaTorah, is greater than fulfilling other mitzvahs, Shemevi Lidei Maisa, because it enables one to fulfill all of the other mitzvahs. Exactly what does this mean? How does that explain why Talmud Torah is a greater mitzvah than the other? So the interpretation is given, the famous interpretation is given by the Beit HaLevi in his commentary on Chumash, that regarding learning Torah, there are really two parts to the mitzvah. Number one, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a hechsher mitzvah. It enables us to fulfill all of the other mitzvahs. If a person doesn't buy a lulav, so he won't be able to fulfill a mitzvah until that lulav. It has to belong to you. If a person doesn't buy a pair of tefillin, he doesn't buy a talis, so he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of talis or tefillin, and so on. So if a person doesn't learn Torah, he won't be able to fulfill the laws of Kashrus, the laws of Shabbos, the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, and so on. So in that sense, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah, but rather as a hechsher mitzvah. It enables us to fulfill all of the other 612 mitzvahs in the Torah. But not only does it exist as a hechsher mitzvah, not only does Talmud Torah enable us to fulfill all of the other mitzvahs in the Torah, there is a separate independent mitzvah of learning Torah. In addition to the pasuk, there are many psukim and chumash that require of us that state this obligation to learn. In addition to many psukim that read, we are required to learn the laws of the Torah in order to be able to fulfill them, we also have psukim which indicate that mitzvah Talmud Torah exists as a mitzvah bifnei atzma, as a separate mitzvah. To learn Torah, even if we already know how to daven, we know how to put on tefillin, we know how to keep Shabbos and keep kashrus, we still have a mitzvah to learn by yom or balayla, to learn by hasmada, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Beis HaLevi points out that there are several major nafkaminis, there are several major differences between these two parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Number one, he points out that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that only serves as a hechsher mitzvah to enable us to fulfill all of the other 612 mitzvahs in the Torah would only require of us that we should learn those mitzvahs that are nohig bizman hazeh. We should learn about Shabbos and Kashrus and so on. But what about to study the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, to study the laws of Karbonis, and we who live in Chutz La'aretz to study all of the agricultural mitzvahs which only apply in Eretz Yisrael? So the Sechel would dictate that this should not be obligatory on the people who live in Chutz La'aretz, because learning these parts of the Torah will not help us at all to fulfill any mitzvahs. And yet the din is not so. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies even to those parts of the Torah which are not nohag bizman hazeh. Number two, Beit HaLevi points out the mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies even if a person already knows the dinim. The person has to chazak, keep on reviewing the laws of Shabbos, not only because we are afraid that the fellow may forget the mitzvah. He may forget how to keep Shabbos from one week to the next. He may forget how to daven. How's he going to forget? He davens every day. What is he going to forget? How to say Talamata, how to say Yalav. Yeah, it's all printed in the Siddur. Not only because he may forget. No, there's a mitzvah to learn the Hasmada Lulu. There's a mitzvah bifnei atzma, to learn Torah, even if one is not worried that he may not fulfill the mitzvahs properly. There's an independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And number three, the Beis HaLevi points out, he has many nafkaminis, but I'll mention three of them. Number three, he points out that we never recite a bracha before doing an act which is only a hechsher mitzvah. When you buy a talis and tefillin, you don't say a bracha. You wear the talis and tefillin. When you make a shofar, you don't say a bracha. When you carve out a shofar, when you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, then you say the bracha. So if Talmud Torah would have only been a hechsher mitzvah, the way that one will be secure that he will be fulfilling the mitzvahs properly, then we really shouldn't recite a bracha before we learn Torah, because it's only like buying a lulav, like preparing the shofar and so on. But this is not true. The Talmud tells us that from all of the brachas that we recite before doing mitzvahs, the only Birchas HaMitzvah that is min HaTorah, that's obligatory on a biblical level, is the Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is a bracha min HaTorah. So this clearly indicates that Limud HaTorah exists not only as a Hechsher Mitzvah, but also as a Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. So for the Beis HaLevi explains that this is probably what the Talmud means when they say that Godol Limud Shenevi Lidei Maaseh, that learning Torah is greater on a philosophical level, it's greater than fulfilling other mitzvahs, because when a person does a mitzvah of tzitzis or tkiyah shofar or birchas hamazon or something, he's only doing a mitzvah, one mitzvah at one time. When a person learns Torah, there are two parts to this mitzvah. Number one, the Talmud Torah is a heksher mitzvah that will enable him to fulfill all of the mitzvahs that he's learning about. And number two, the Talmud Torah itself is a mitzvah b'chnei atzmo. So this is what the Talmud tells us, Godol Limud Shemevi Lidei Maaseh, that Limud Torah, in addition to being a mitzvah b'chnei atzmo, is also a heksher mitzvah that enables us to fulfill the other mitzvahs. So therefore, Talmud Torah is a greater mitzvah. Of course, the Talmud stresses very much that the Limud HaTorah must be Amanos L'Kayeh. A person is only permitted to learn Torah if he intends to fulfill those mitzvahs that he's learning about. Whenever it comes to coming close to God, we are not permitted, let's say a person wants to go speak to President Reagan. You just can't walk in and knock on Reagan's office and say, I'm here, I want to speak to you. You have to have special permission. So too, when a person wants to come close to God in any form whatsoever, either by davening, or by doing mitzvahs, or by learning Torah, a person has to have a reshus, they have to have permission to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, V'la Rasha Omer Elokim, Malach HaLasap HaChukai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Rasha, the one who is not interested at all in fulfilling mitzvahs, that he has no permission to learn Torah. One is only permitted to learn Torah if he plans to fulfill the mitzvahs. If he thinks that, he doesn't necessarily have to plan to fulfill right now, if he thinks that maybe someday in the future, he will fulfill these mitzvahs. But if you have the typical picture of the maskilim from Europe who would sit and smoke their cigars on Shabbos and learn Gemara Shabbos, learn about the Dinim of Shabbos, as they're doing the Hal Shabbos, with no intention at all of fulfilling any of these things, of fulfilling any of these mitzvahs, that person has no right to learn Torah. He's forbidden to learn Torah. The Talmud stresses very much the importance of learning Torah amanos l'kayem, having in mind either immediately or sometime in the future to fulfill these mitzvahs of the Torah. In fact, we have a very interesting halacha which is based on this premise that a person must always learn Torah amanos l'kayem, having in mind to fulfill the mitzvah that he's learning about. We have a principle of ha'otik the mitzvah potam and ha-mitzvah. That one who is engaged, one who is involved in doing one mitzvah, is not obligated to fulfill another mitzvah at that time. For example, let's say a person is doing a mitzvah right now, and the opportunity to fulfill another mitzvah comes along, and the other mitzvah that comes along second is a mitzvah shahazman gromo. I have to either fulfill a mitzvah now in the next 10 minutes in the next hour, or I'll lose the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah completely. And the first mitzvah that I'm engaged in is not as man gromo. I have a week to do it. I have all year long to do it. There's no behola, there's no rush. So the halacha says that it doesn't matter. Even though I'm engaged in a mitzvah now, which there's no great rush on, I have all the time in the world to fulfill it. And a new mitzvah that comes up afterwards, that pops up later, is a mitzvah that has to be fulfilled immediately, otherwise I lose the opportunity to fulfill it. The halacha states clearly, we learned it we give a shiur every Monday night, so we learned it in the Gemara Brachos this year and last year. It's a recurrent theme that comes up in Gemara several times, that ha'osik b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah, one who is involved in mitzvah A, doesn't become obligated to fulfill mitzvah B, even though there's no contradiction between the two. He can stop doing mitzvah A, fulfill mitzvah B, then go back and pick up and continue to fulfill, to finish the mitzvah A. The halacha says that as long as he's involved in doing mitzvah A, he's potter from mitzvah B. So it's interesting, the Talmud states that this klal, this principle, applies to all mitzvahs except for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Let's say the rabbi's busy, he's sitting and learning in his office. And then it comes time to daven mincha. So you say, well, ha'oisik the mitzvah potam and ha-mitzvah. The rabbi is busy learning, so he doesn't want to daven mincha. Comes a half an hour later, it's time to daven ma'ariv. He's not going to daven ma'ariv either. Ha'oisik the mitzvah potam and ha-mitzvah. He doesn't want to do any mitzvahs. Let's say the boys in the yeshiva, they'll just sit and learn halavai. They should sit and learn all day and all night. And they won't want to daven. They won't want to shake a lulav. They won't want to bench. They have to eat, but they don't want to wash until it's yadayim. They don't want to fulfill any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. They're busy doing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ha'isik the mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah. So the Talmud tells us that this is the one exception to the rule. That if a person is learning Torah, we do not apply this principle and say that since he's engaged in mitzvah A, he's exempt from fulfilling all other mitzvahs in the Torah. Why not? Shouldn't we say that it's a kal v'chomer? That if the Talmud states that learning Torah is a greater mitzvah than the others, godol limud shenevi lidei maaseh, Talmud Torah is a greater mitzvah than others, so shouldn't I certainly say that if any other, any old mitzvah that I'm engaged in exempts me from fulfilling other mitzvahs. So this great mitzvah, the greatest mitzvah in the world, the Talmud Torah, it certainly exempts me from fulfilling other mitzvahs. So the commentaries on the Talmud explain, based on a passage in the Yerushalmi and Shabbos in the first perek, that the reason for this is the following. Yerushalmi practically says the whole thing explicitly, that when it comes to two mitzvahs, any two mitzvahs in the world, we treat it, the halacha treats it as if the mitzvahs are sort of in competition with each other. The mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't hold from the mitzvah of shofar, and the mitzvah of shofar doesn't hold from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Each mitzvah is independent, and each mitzvah is selfish, and it's on its own. So when I'm engaged in mitzvah A screams at me and it says, you're involved in doing me, don't look at any other mitzvah. You're potter from all the other mitzvahs in the world. Right now that you're busy fulfilling mitzvah A, don't look at any other mitzvah, you're potter. When it comes to Talmud Torah, because we have a principle that a person must learn Almanos L'Kayim, and if the person learns Shalei Almanos L'Kayim, the person learns Torah not intending to fulfill a mitzvah, then his Limud HaTorah is incomplete. So we cannot say that Talmud Torah is selfish and independent, and Talmud Torah is in competition with all the other mitzvahs, and Talmud Torah doesn't recognize any other mitzvahs. It cannot be. Then the whole Talmud Torah will fall. The whole Talmud Torah won't be considered a mitzvah. So because the halacha requires that a person must be lomid almanas l'kayim, fulfillment of any other mitzvah is not considered in competition with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The reverse is considered an enhancement of the Talmud Torah. If the person is mafsik and interrupts in the middle of his learning, in order to say a bracha, in order to daven, in order to blow shofar, in order to fulfill all the other mitzvahs of Torah, this is an enhancement of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the sense that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is now being done almanas l'kayim. The Gemara has another interesting point, and with this I'll close, with respect to the relationship between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as opposed to other mitzvahs in the Torah. There's something very different about Talmud Torah. The Gemara has, in connection with the psukim that we're learning now in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, there are various korbanos, different types of sacrifices that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah has a din that when one brings a korban, he's not permitted to bring chametz as a korban. You bring sometimes the korbanos on meat, sometimes fowl, sometimes wine, and sometimes flour. So when you mix the flour with water, you have to be careful to see that it doesn't become chametz. You're only permitted to be makriv matzis on the mizbeh. Kosher l'Pesach all year long. That's the kosher l'Pesach all year long. So the Torah says there's one exception to the rule, Bikurim, that we have a din that Sa'or Dvash may not be brought on the mizbeh, and Bikurim is the one exception to the rule. So the question is, why is Bikurim an exception to the rule? Bikurim is not brought on the mizbeh. Bikurim you give to the Kohen, the Kohanim eat it. And Yerushalayim, why is that considered a korban? When you study Chumash, we know in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tav, we know there is a korban which does have chametz in it. That should have been the exception of korban toda. You have 40 lachmei toda, 30 of which are matzah, and 10 of which are chametz. The ten lachmei toda that are chametz. So why doesn't the pasuk say that that's the exception to the rule, that the lachmei toda may be brought as a korban even though they're chametz? Why doesn't it say bikurim? If anything, bikurim is not the exception. Lachmei toda is. So apparently the Ramban HaChumash explains, apparently this is not so, that when you bring a korban todah, the animal which is offered on the Mizbeach, that's the korban, and the lachmei todah, the matzis and the chalos that are brought in conjunction with the korban, are brought in conjunction with the korban. That's not really actually part of the korban itself. So that doesn't constitute an exception to the rule that you bring in chametz on the Mizbeach. It's not brought on the Mizbeach. Whereas Bikurim, when nothing is brought on the Mizbeach, that is an exception to the rule. Why? The Torah says that when a person brings Bikurim, even though nothing is brought on the Mizbeach, it's considered a korban. As if it were brought on the Mizbeach, and it's considered an exception to the rule. A fascinating idea. So the Gemara in the end of Tzubis quotes the pasuk, the one who gives a matana to a Talmud Chacham is Ki'ilu Hikriv Bikurim. The Gemara comments on the pasuk with respect to Elisha Hanavi, who was not a Kohen, who was not a priest, but it says that the Balabatim brought him Bikurim. So the Gemara says, how could they bring him Bikurim? He wasn't a Kohen. One who's not a Kohen is forbidden to eat Bikurim. So the Gemara says on that pasuk, from here we derive the one who gives a matana to a Talmud Chacham is Ki'ilu Hikriv Bikurim. What does it mean? It's considered as if he had brought a korban, even though absolutely nothing is korban on Gabi HaMizbeach. That's exactly the Chiddush of Bikurim, that absolutely nothing is brought on the Mizbeach, and it's still considered a korban. So the Poskim points out that this constitutes a mitzvah even if the Talmud Chacham is not a poor man. If the Talmud Chacham is a poor man, you have a mitzvah of tzedakah. But the Gemara doesn't say Elisha was a poor man. The Gemara says that one who gives a matana to a Talmud Chacham is kilo hikriv bikurim, is a mitzvah of hafzakas hatorah. Then the Gemara goes further in this context and points out the following. Hillel, the famous Tana Hillel, was very poor. The Gemara tells the story, the way Hillel was so poor, he couldn't even afford to give a nickel to the Shema HaPesach to let him into the Beis Medrash to listen to the shir, and he learned on top, and it snowed on him. He was freezing. Hillel's brother was a very wealthy businessman, and he refused to support him. So the Aramah Yeshiva Bach, what will ever become of him? Then the Gemara says, when Hillel became the Nasi, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, then his brother had the Acheres, then he was giving him a lot of money, and he wanted to share in his Olam Haba. So the Gemara says that that's a joke. When his brother Shevna wanted to support him later, once he became the chief rabbi, so Hillel told him, sorry, the Pasuk says, Mitinish is called him Beisav Ahava Bozyav Uzulo. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says that if a person gives all of his money in order to buy the share of Olam Haba of the Talmud Chacham, it doesn't make any sense. There is an idea, the Gemara tells us in the very first Mishnah in Zvachim, there is an idea of Shimon Achi Azaryo. The Mishnah, the very first Mishnah in Zvachim, has a Machlekes HaTanoim regarding Parshas Vayikra. If you offer a carbon and you shech the carbon, having in mind a different carbon, you mishana the level of the Kedusha, you mishana the Bailim, when does this pass the carbon and when not? So the Mishnah quotes different opinions of Tanoim. So one Tana who's quoted is Shimon, the brother of Azariah. Instead of saying Shimon Ben, who his father is, they give you who his brother is. So the Gemara asks, Manish Tana, this Tana that we say who his brother is, instead of saying who his father is, the Gemara says that his brother supported him. Not like Hillel and Shevna, that his brother only gave him the money after he had already learned all of the Torah, and then it doesn't help. Yitanish is called him Beis Avrahabo, Bozyav Uzolo. No, Shevna only gave his brother money, only gave Hillel the money after he learned. And Azariah supported his brother Shimon as he was learning. So the Gemara tells us that there's a special mitzvah of Hachzakas HaTorah, which only applies to learning Torah. Let's say I have a person who's fulfilling Shabbos. I'm not able to keep Shabbos. I have another person who's blowing shofar. I have another person who's doing all the mitzvahs HaTorah. And I'm not able to fulfill those mitzvahs. So the Gemara says there is no special deal in that instance, that the one who supports someone else who's fulfilling a mitzvah gets the schar, kilu he himself has fulfilled the mitzvah. That's not so. The Gemara tells us that this special skus only applies to Hachzakas HaTorah. As the Pasuk reads, Eitz Chaim Hillel Achazikim Bo, that was originally the name of the yeshiva, Eitz Chaim Hillel Achazikim Bo, the Samcher HaMiyushar. Machazik means those who support Torah. So the Gemara says that the schar is split 50-50. That's what the Gemara says. The fair is 50-50. It's not that the Talmud Chacham gets more schar, and the man who supports the Talmud Chacham also gets schar. It's not also. Sukkim in the Torah where the Gemara considers the original arrangement of two brothers, one who was busy earning a living and the other one who was learning. So the Gemara speaks about and Zvulun was the one who was making the Parnasa. So the Gemara comments on the passage that Zvulun is mentioned before Yisachar. Why should he be mentioned before? He was a businessman. So the Gemara says this is why. That you shouldn't think that he gets also schar. No, they get equal schar. Even Stephen, 50-50, they get equal schar. So the Gemara mentions that this special schuz, that the one who is matzik Torah gets the same schar, b'olam hazeh, b'olam habo, as the one who is learning, only applies to Talmud Torah, doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. These are some of the inyanim which we find in the Gemara regarding the relationship between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Usually on Sunday morning I give a long shiur for an hour and three quarters, but we'll have to abridge the shiur this morning. Okay.